And so there are four things we will do in this. First is queuing notation. Second, the rules that apply to all the queues. And that's really good to know because you don't make any assumptions. And then one rule which is very famous and very common is the Little's Law. It's a big result. And so we talk about that one, Little's Law. And then we go into stochastic processes. All right. And so the queues have six things that you have to know. First thing you have to know, first thing you have to know is how are the jobs coming? Right? Something about the arrival process. Once the, you know, the arrival process, then you have to know how are these, they are being serviced. And that includes how many servers you have. Actually, that is the third thing, how many servers you have. You have to know how they are being serviced, means how long does it take to service them. You know, that might be a random number. You might need to know the distribution and all that. So third thing you need is number of servers. Fourth you need is buffering. How many waiting positions there are. You need buffers for those being serviced as well as those waiting. All right. And the fifth thing you need is what is the population size. It could be infinite, it could be finite. If the population size is finite, that changes the result. Because after some time, the jobs won't arrive. Everybody is in the queue. And if it is infinite, you know, if it is some number, you have to know that. So five is the population size. Six is the service discipline. How is it being serviced? Right? First come, first served, or something different. If you know those six things, then you have completely characterized the queue. Now notice here one thing though. There is only one queue. If you have many queues, that is not a single queue system. That is many queue system. Okay? So if you go to, let's say you go to supermarket, they have multiple servers and they have multiple queues. So those are five queues, all right? If there are five servers and five queues, you can analyze each of them, you know, separately somehow. I mean, there are ways of analyzing even them together because people might move from one to the other and all that. So that's a different system. We're talking about one queue here. If you go to a bank, in the bank they have only one queue, but they have five servers, right? That's a single queue. All right. If you have a multi-processor or multi-core CPU, generally it might have a single queue. It might have multiple queues. So you have to decide that as to how the queuing is done. But there is only one queue. All right. And then there are queuing networks, which we will talk later on. In the queuing networks, you go from one queue and then go to another device. There is another queue, then from go to another device. There is another queue. So that's a whole different thing, right? But for the time being, we are talking about a queue, and a queue is defined as a single queue. Clear? And for that single queue, you need six things. And so Mr. Kendall came up with this notation, Kendall's notation, ASMBKSD. You have to specify the arrival process by some notation. You have to specify the service process, a service time distribution by some notation. You have to specify the number of servers, third. Fourth thing is the number of buffer, fifth is the population size, and sixth is the service discipline. All right, these six things are specified in that order. You don't change the order, you don't change the notation. There is a particular notation reserved for each of these. For example, arrival process. So generally, if you go and measure the arrival process, you will find out that the job one came at time T1, job T, second came at time T2, and jth job came at time TJ, but we are not interested in absolute times. We are interested in inter-arrival times. That is, the time between the second job and the first job, third job and the second job. So the inter-arrival times are TJ minus TJ minus 1, and that is tau J, and so that is what we are interested in, and that is what we study which is basically these, when we say random arrival, we talk about the inter-arrivals. Times. Now we assume that they are independent and identically distributed. Now this is a probabilistic concept, and I will explain it to you. And basically, first of all, we are assuming here that the arrivals are independent. So if the first job arrived at this time, the second one arrived with some other inter-arrival time, and that they were not related, which may not be true in the real world. Right? Like in, for this class, was the arrival IID? No. You know, 10 people came up first and 5 people came later and so on and so forth. So right there is a problem. So IID assumes that independent and identically. Now, identically distributed means the distribution of tau 1, tau 2, tau 3, tau 4, they're not going to have 4 distributions. With 4 means, they're going to have just one distribution. All right? Yeah, question.
Is this the center or maybe just this lecture or in all of queuing theory?
No, okay, so in most of the queuing theory. So there are problems that you can solve for dependent queues and things like that. So that's correct. Your question is very good. Is that for most of the things that we will discuss here, generally we will assume IID, but if it is not IID, you are for a big reading. You are in for a big reading. All right, independent identical distribution. Then the distribution is specified by a letter. M is used for memoryless distribution, which is exponential. So exponential is for E stands for Erlang. And M stands for exponential. And because it is memoryless. And I will explain that in the next slide a little bit later. So M, if it says M, M means that the inter-arrival times are exponentially distributed. Okay, there is a particular formula I will present in a minute. So that is what is followed by the inter-arrival time. If that is true, then you have an M there. Otherwise, it could be E, Erlang, or it could be hyper-exponential, which I will explain in a minute, or it could be deterministic. All right, when the buses arrive, they arrive on a very deterministic schedule. They try to meet that schedule. When the planes arrive, they try to meet that schedule. Right? So they are deterministic. General means for all distribution, the result will hold. That's very good, because then we don't have to worry about the distribution. The result that we will tell you for G is good, because G basically is good for all distributions. Okay, so we now know at least 4 or 5 possibilities for A, the first letter in that Kendall notation. Any questions about this? Service time is similar. For each job, we see how much service time is took, and then we assume that they are IID. Independent and identically distributed. And then we use the same notation, M, E, H, D, R, G for service time distribution. And where the device actually, service time for the device, that basically So I think the last lines are not really meaningful. We already talked about the buffers and the dating positions and so on and so forth. So let's move on to service disciplines. This is the last thing, number 6 in the list. So most often the service time is first come, first served. Right? In most of the time. However, sometimes it is last come, first served. Right? In a stack situation. Sometimes last come, first served preempt and resume, where you stop the current job, do whatever has come, do that, and then resume the previous job. Sometimes it is round robin. Sometimes it is processor sharing, which is round robin with a very fine quantum, very small quantum. It is infinite server. Infinite server means the number of servers is infinite. And therefore, there is no queue really. there is a queue, but nobody is waiting. You come and you find a server. Shortest processing time first. You find which job is the shortest time. You go there. Most of the disks, for example, are scheduled so that wherever the head is, depending upon that, the next request will be fixed. Shortest time first. Shortest remaining time first. Now, if you are going to have jobs which are going to queue them back and do and again, then you will take the remaining time. Shortest expected processing time first, and that is basically statistical. And expected remaining time first, biggest in first in real world. You know, I mean, if you go to some countries, there is no queue, there is no line. Whoever comes, you know, just, you know, pushes to the front. And so that is biggest in first. Right? And loudest voice first, also in the same places, you know. If you speak loud, you're getting. All right, so all of these have different results. So here's an example. MM320-1500-FCFS. That means the arrival is memoryless, which is exponential. Service time is exponential. How many servers? Three servers. How many buffers? 20. Then the fourth thing is buffer. So don't get confused with the fourth and the fifth. Fifth is the population size.
Does the buffers include the things that are getting processed?
Yeah. You need buffer. You cannot get processed without buffer. I mean, you need space for people to stand. You need jobs to have memory. I mean, you know. So whenever we say, and this is actually coming up later on, that when we say queue length is the number of people who are getting the job, queues in service, as well as people who are waiting. And so remember I said about infinite server case? In the infinite server, actually, there is a queue. Because you have to count how many people are getting served. But for the same, but there's nobody waiting. Like all of those people who are getting served need a buffer. Yeah.
So if the service discipline is infinite server, does it automatically mean that the queue?
The waiting number is zero. Yeah. If the third number is infinity, then it means that the waiting time is zero. Just a little service time. Good. And FCFS is the first come, first serve. Now here is the thing. The default values are first come, first serve is default. If that is the default, you don't specify it. Infinite population is default. If it is infinite, don't specify it. Buffers infinite is default. If you have infinite buffers, which most of us don't, you don't have to specify it. But very often the buffer size is so large that most people don't care to specify it. And then they start mostly at the first three letters. MM1, for example. MM1 assumes that you have one server with infinite buffering. Right? In most realistic situations that we have, the buffering would be kind of, nowadays would be large. So it would be, you know, like 200 or 100 or something like that. Then that is practically infinity. Okay. Obviously, we'll find it out. In a minute, we'll talk about, you know, when you put the number N there, or B and there, and then you'll find out that it really doesn't matter. But basically, so the idea is that you can shorten the six things into three things. You have to specify the arrival time, even if it is default M. M is not actually default. M is generally assumed. Service time is generally assumed to be M, and the number of servers. There's no default, and so you just have to specify one first three. The other three have a default and generally not specified if they are default. All right. So let's say this one. GG1. GG1 means general distribution. Which distribution is that? Any distribution. Exponential, hyper-exponential, everything it will work. Service time is G2. that's good. If we can get a result for GG, then that's good because you can use it for any distribution. And one means one server. Alright? Infinite buffering, infinite population, and first come, first serve. Alright. That takes us to our quiz. For your convenience, I put the notation right here so that I know for the, if you are seeing this for the first time, then you don't know which comes first, A, S, M, B, K, S, D. B is buffers. Anybody needs more time? Move on? Okay, I have to do the same thing here. Get the answers. Slide number 9. Okay, no answer. All right, that's very good. So I'm going to give you the answers. The number of servers in an MM13Q is how many? 1. So this is false. GG13300LCFSQ is like a LCFS. Like a stack. So that is true. MD330Q has how many buffers? 30. GG1Q has population size of infinity. True. DD1Q has first come first served discipline. True. Okay. So that's good. Alright. So now we go into a little bit of distribution explanation. And there are lots of formulas here. However, you really don't need to remember any of that. I don't remember myself, by the way. If you need to, basically, you just find Google, or you know, just Wikipedia, or you go to my book, or something like that. And basically, because there's too many formulas, right? So, but the thing is, you have to just have some idea of what this is about, right? So I'm not going to expect that you will remember what is the mean and variance and all that, but I'm just going to explain that right now. So exponential distribution goes down. Basically, it starts at some value. It has e raised to x minus x in there. That is a density function. Now, and if you were to integrate that, you get the distribution function, which goes up from 0 to infinity, 0 to 1, you know, also like exponential. So anyway, the main important thing is that the mean is a and the variance is a squared. So therefore, the coefficient of variation is 1 because the standard deviation is also a and the mean is a. The ratio of the two is 1. And the most important property is memoryless property that the expected time to next arrival is always a. So if suppose somebody asks you that this is a queue, here is a arrival pattern where it is exponentially distributed. The mean time is a. All right. So what is the expected time for the next arrival? It's a. But you say, well, I have been waiting for half an hour. What is the expected time for the next arrival? Say a. So it doesn't really matter how long you have waited. The time for the next arrival is always has the same value. So it doesn't really know, it doesn't really help to know the history at the time. That's why it's called memory less. You don't have to remember when the last yap came. Alright? So even in the past, if it does not help, now you can go into the Mac and, you know, so on and so forth. And I mean, we can see the example. So can you think of an example where basically it would not be memory less? Bus arrival. Yeah, if the bus has not come for 30 minutes, it's sure going to come in 5 minutes. We know that it comes every 35 minutes. So bus arrivals are not memory less. But on the other hand, what about the passenger arrivals? Okay, so passenger arrivals, if the passengers don't know the bus time. Right, like me, you know, I didn't know, and then I waited for bus, you know, for a long time, and then, you know, finally the bus didn't arrive, and I had walked. But, so the thing is, if you don't know the bus time, then the arrivals might be memoryless. Alright, in general, if the arrivals are from many independent sources, they tend to be memoryless. Okay, so if there are jobs which are being submitted by many different people, they might be close to memoryless. If there are jobs which are being submitted by, you know, one job, you know, then obviously they're not memoryless. And so the memoryless property comes only when you have lots of independent processes acting together for the arrival.
Are there other distributions that are memoryless?
Not that I know of. Geometric is the, okay, so that's a good question and good answer probably. The geometric is the discrete version of exponential. So in that sense, yes. So, okay, I know that's a good comment. And any other question? Yeah.
I guess, in terms of modeling and being able to rely on some results, how important is the fact that
it's very important. So I will. So when we get into this thing, system performance, there are many things that we need to know. We need to know the throughput. We need to know the response time. We need to know the queue length, buffer size, things like that. So throughput, it doesn't matter. For throughput, it matters less. Let me put it this way, correct. It matters less. If you just want to calculate throughput, the distribution doesn't matter. But if you want to know response time, if you want to know buffering, if you want to know anything related to queue size, that is the thing that determines it, is the distribution. Yeah.
Do most things in the real world are not being memoryless? Is there an economical example of a physical process and a real world process that is memoryless?
Well, yeah, actually, as I said, think of anything where things are arriving independently. Okay, I mean, I'm going to just make it up right now for you. Is bad jobs, and nobody does bad jobs anymore, but in the days when the bad jobs came, people would punch it and, you know, submit it whenever they could do. You know, one could model that as a memoryless arrival. Right? Nowadays, I mean, you know, basically, you know, there could be other systems where, you know, for example, when Google queries come in, they're coming from many independent sources. You know, there could be, you know, model some.
Yeah, that's what
okay, now let me see. Yeah. So the thing is, service time actually, yeah, has more problems than that. Basically, service time actually is determined by design. So what we do is, when a job is big, we break into pieces and, you know, we break into chunks and, you know, things like that. So it. That is true, is that service time is not likely to be exponential because you, by design, you have made it deterministic or small or, you know, bounded and things like that. So that is more in the control of the designer. Arrival is generally not. Right? That's a good point, is that service time is not likely to be memoryless. Yeah.
So I guess you could ask the same question again, but so you said, for example, that arrivals for bad jobs couldn't model exponential. I used to work in a batch environment. Job arrival was very much not exponential, but it depended very heavily on the time of day.
Good, good. That is true. I'm not going to stand behind my statement for that one.
But, I mean, I can tell those sort of counter-arguments for every example you give it. But it's more we're trying to get at is how much does that sensitivity matter?
Oh, that will come up.
Matters?
No. You will see that. That is part of this course. You will see the sensitivity. You will see the sensitivity in later parts of the lecture, of the class, of the series, I mean. But as I said, for throughput, the sensitivity is very little. For response time, it is very, very low.
Question for you. So, if you look at 1 hour or half an hour, how does it look like? Within a very small time frame, it probably would be memory. Over the course of days or weeks or months, it definitely
works. Yeah. So, actually, let me ask you one more thing about that. It really doesn't matter what the performance is over weeks or days. Really, the performance matters when the system is loaded. And that hour that you're talking about, you know, if it is 9 o'clock or 5 o'clock or, you know, between 9 to 5, that is what matters. It doesn't matter what the performance in the night is. Right? I'm just saying that. So, yeah, you see what I mean? So that's another thing is that performance really matters when people care for it, and that is during, you know, time when they need it. No, that is, see again, the thing is, I'll tell you what it is based upon. Because anything that is independently, so if you have a complex system, the failure will be independent. You assume that, you know, there are thousands of components, and if anyone fails, system will fail, right? Now, so the failure, you know, MTTF and MTB, the time to failure, time to repair and all those things, let's say, and I will not go time to repair. Time to failure is clearly exponentially distributed, right? Are assumed to be exponentially distributed.
I mean, I can say this, the assumed are exponentially distributed,
yeah.
It's not. I mean, like, right. I just say much
well. One of the first tips for examples of nonetheless processes is the probability of touching a note hit game is a
baseball. Oh. Baseball, what it is?
Probability of hitting a no-hit pitching a no-hit game is a baseball.
No hit game in a baseball. Is it coming from again from this? I don't know. Many different sources that so many players are playing and there's no hit. Okay. All right. So that is exponential. Yeah.
The last problem. The number last problem is assuming, you know, if you had no knowledge of A and you want to estimate it.
Oh, that's a different problem. Basically, I mean that we have distribution fitting algorithms and. And if nothing else, you just get 5 samples or 30 samples and, you know, do some averaging. We'll assume that we know it. No, we assume. The thing is here, we will assume that we know A. Now, Erlang actually is a sum of exponential. So if you have a server where jobs just go through there is a queue outside, but the job just has to go through a steps. Each step is exponential. All right? Then the total sum would be Erlang. All right? In that case, the mean is ak, and the variance is a square k. The coefficient of variation is a upon square root of k, and you can see that is less than 1. Right? K is more than 1. So this is called hypo-exponential. Hypo means below. Hyper-exponential is just the opposite. If you have K servers or M servers, and they are in parallel, so when the job comes in with probability 1, it goes there, probability 2, it goes there, P2, it goes there, PM or PK, it goes there, and then the times are exponential, but the different is exponential. That one is exponential of A1 and A2 and AM and so on and so forth. Then the total thing has a hyper exponential distribution. Right? And this will have coefficient of variation greater than 1, basically, because all these things are mixing up.
Sorry. Just to make sure I follow this.
Yeah.
X1 through XM are all exponentially distributed.
But they're not identical. I mean, they're exponentially distributed, but with different means.
Well, with different means.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's some probability P that I pick any one of them.
Yeah.
And that, okay, and that probability is uniform.
That is not uniform either.
Okay.
There's a probability PI that I take PI.
Okay.
Yeah, I should have put a formula here that X is equal to sum of PI times XI. Alright, that would be hyper exponential. Alright, but more important than these distribution is the group arrivals, batch arrivals, Bursty arrivals. Actually, Bursty could be that you have a batch or you don't have a batch. Either one, so I'm not going to use the word Bursty right now. So let us go for batch arrival, where a number of people come together at the same time. A number of jobs come at the same time. So then we have to have two distributions. We have to have intergroup time, and we have to have a group size distribution. Group size is random, and the intergroup time is random. So then we have to use two notations. We use a m raised to x, or g raised to x. So the first letter m indicates the inter-arrival time of the group. So in this case, memory less. And the second letter x indicates something about the group size. And generally, we don't put anything. We just specify x separately and say, well, x is exponentially distributed. X is, you know, deterministic of size 20, you know, or x is something like that. So there is no clear notation to say that x should be g. You cannot put m raised to g or something like that. Right? But whenever you put this square bracket and x, that means that there is a burst. There is a group. So g raised to x is again a burst arrival, which is general distribution of the intergroup time, but and then there is some distribution for the burst as well. Mx, M1 would be, for example, single server Q, and I use the word here, Poisson arrivals, and exponential service times. Service time is this second M. Now, I will explain Poisson in a minute, but suffice it to say that...
So here is the assumption that all jobs are...
At the same time. So this is this. There is no inter. There is no distribution inside the group. Now,
okay.
Now what you are talking about is what we call, you know, like I have we did this thing called packet train model. In the packet train model, the packets arrive in trains. Okay, so there is one train arrives and then there is a big gap. Then there is another train arrives. There is a small gap between the packets in a train. Right. That is not indicated by any of this. No, X has to be specified separately. It could be constant. I mean, constant is a special distribution, by the way. D. Yeah. Okay, so you are talking about load dependent server. And I haven't gotten that far yet. So right now, I haven't said what the service time depends upon. I'm just still through the notation, going through the notation. So we'll talk about that when the time comes.
So
yeah. Yeah, so here's the thing. That strictly speaking, I would use that model which I talked about, the packet train model for TCP arrivals. And that's a slightly different process than you can note put by this notation. There is something that we will get into at the end if we can, and that is called MMP, the Markov modulated arrival processes. That is what will represent those things. Okay? And so then we use that whole word there, you know, you will put here MMP PCSM1. For those things. But those are not bulk arrivals. I mean, those are not bulk arrivals in the sense as represented here. Good question. So basically, so the idea is that there are other processes which are, we haven't done yet completely. Because, you know, MMPP would be four letters put right there in one place. All right, any other question about this group arrival or anything so far? Oh. So there's a quiz. Every 10 minutes there's a quiz. Huh? Oh, all right. I will talk about that later. Let's finish the quiz, and then I will answer that question. So every query should be done by that by now. It's very simple. If you're here's the solution. Are you done? Oh, sorry. It looks like that I copied an older version of this, so the answers are not there again. The answer you know already. Exponential distribution is denoted as M. And what distribution represents a set of parallel exponential servers? Hyper exponential. Erlang distribution EK with K is equal to 1 is the same as what? Exponential, good. In fact, hyper exponential HK with K equal to 1 is same as exponential, good. All right, there was a question here, which I have to go back to the previous slide. Poisson arrivals, I started talking about it, but then. So Poisson has, there's a distribution called Poisson distribution. All right, we will never talk about it here. But we'll talk about Poisson arrivals a lot because that is same thing as exponential distribution. All right, this is very confusing, but Poisson processes we'll cover later on in this lecture probably today. But so we are talking about processes which are Poisson, not the distribution which is Poisson. And Poisson processes are basically exponential distribution, and they're memory less. Does that answer your question? Okay, good. Thank you. Is that clear? So, there's a Poisson distribution. Again, if you go to the book or go to Wikipedia, you'll find Poisson distribution, but you don't need that because we are not going to use it. All right. So now we are in different module. In this module, we will talk about the different, what we call metrics. And so what we need to know basically, and what we use, the symbols we use. So if we draw a timeline, a job arrives, we have to measure the time from the previous arrival, we call it tau. Job begins the service, that finishes the waiting time, W. Job ends the service, that ends the service time, S, little s. And the total is called response time. So response time is coming in and getting out. Right? That includes the waiting time plus the service time. The number in the waiting position is denoted as NQ. The number in the service position is denoted as NS, which could be different from the number of servers, by the way, because sometimes servers is 3, but jobs only 2. There is nobody else is there. And NS, and the number in the system is N, which is the sum of those in the queue, and those waiting, and those in service. The jobs are being serviced at a rate of mu. Now this is important to remember. Mu is the service rate, not the service time. What's the difference? Service rate is jobs per second. And service time is the opposite of that, 1 upon mu. Similarly, the arrival rate is lambda. Again, it is a rate, so that is jobs per second. The I'm sorry, this is it?
Is Mail the aggregator for all the servers?
No, this is per server. Yeah, so basically the total service rate is m times mu, where little m is the number of servers, and this m times mu is the total service rate. Thank you for asking. Yeah.
How is n different than b in node transition?
Okay, n could be much less than b, and generally it should be much less than b. N is the currently occupied positions.
So
maximum n can be b, and after that n cannot grow. Okay. All right. So, and then as shown by this dotted thing is the population. So there are many, you know, population size sometimes matters. So that is another thing that is in the Kendall notation. So let's see. We finished everything except to know that the tau expected value is 1 upon lambda. Inter-arrival time, and so that is one thing, and the service time is again 1 upon mu, so the expected value of service time is 1 upon mu. The total service rate for m servers is m times mu, right? N is the number of jobs in the system, and this is called the queue length. This is very confusing, but basically you have to remember, whenever we say queue length, we mean the number in the system. And whenever we say number in the queue or number waiting, then we mean that n queue thing, you know, remember? And so, generally I try to say number in the system, so that is very clear. Number in the system is the waiting plus service, but that is also called queue length. Queue length includes the job currently receiving service as well as those waiting in the queue. All right. So NQ is the number of jobs, we already, this just continues the previous slide. NQ is the number of jobs waiting, and NS is the number of receiving service. R is the response time, which includes the waiting time, and the service time, and the waiting time is, you know, between the beginning of the service and the arrival, okay. So the rules for all queues. So the following rules apply to GGM queues. GGM means that the distribution, arrival distribution could be anything. The service time could be any distribution, and the number of servers could be n, which you know how many servers there are. First of all, for all the queues, the arrival rate must be less than the service rate. Period. If that is not true, the queue will blow up. People will get killed and jobs will get thrown out, right? So basically lambda must be less than n mu. There's only one arrival and server, right? Finite population buffers and finite population systems are exceptions. So that is the thing, this GGMQ, not for, now I should probably change that. Well, it says all Q, but almost all Q. Because now if you had GGM, if you had a queue where the population was only 20, then the stability condition does not apply. I mean, because it is not going to blow up. Yeah.
So if the buffer size is finite and it is scaled up, and there is still something in
population, then you will have an instability. Basically, what will happen is, yeah, that is true. So I mean, like there are. So what you are saying is, finite buffer systems. Finite population and finite buffer. So T is finite population first, right? And then finite buffer. And some relationship between the two, in the sense that if the buffers are less than the population, you could have an unstable system in that sense, that some jobs will be lost.
So the buffer size has to be always more than the population?
No, not more. I mean, the thing is, in most systems, it is much less. See, the thing is, in most systems, the buffer size is very small compared to the population size. I mean, think about your system and your buffers, right? So one of the things that we calculate in our analysis is buffer overflow probability, right? And that probability has to be low. I mean, generally we want that probability to be 10 to minus 5 or something like that, you know, some small number so that most of the jobs will get through.
So what is the definition of stable? I thought the definition of stable is that it will never overflow.
Okay. No. See, the thing is, this will have infinite overflow. If this queue is like this, let's say, GGMQ. And this is, let's say, arrival is twice the service rate. What is, how many jobs will get overflow?
None.
No, all of them. No, it's arrival rate, sorry, you're right. Arrival rate is twice the service rate, and the service, there is only one server, right? Then half of the jobs will get.
But the MMQs, the queue size is infinite, right?
No, 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 arrival rate. Yeah, but the arrival rate is, regardless of what you have, I know, I mean, there's infinity and
but
two times infinity. Yeah, some people will never get serviced. Okay,
yeah.
You got to find it. Okay, all right, yeah.
Why is the quality
equality in let me think about it. If lambda is exactly equal to MQ, yeah, I mean, like, must be less than or equal to the service rate.
Lambda should take that into account, right?
Lambda is
sometime 0. So when you look at the arrival rate,
yeah. I think I'm going to give up on that one. So basically, I think we can put there equal to sign, and I might just change the slide. Because, I mean, some thinking has to be done, though. Huh? Yeah, go ahead. You have an example? This is necessary but not sufficient. It's sufficient but not necessary.
Okay, for example, since your arrival times were deterministic.
Yeah.
Sometimes
deterministic means very, very clear. No, in deterministic case, equal to sign will apply. In the deterministic case, GD1Q, huh?
This is an interesting question. So say you have a Poisson arrival.
Yeah.
Right? If a Poisson arrival, so what will happen is it's secret, right? It doesn't happen that it's secret. You know, from time to time, you are going to have the tree. It's going to grow a lot, and then it's going to become empty. And every time when the tree is empty, you are going to lose that time.
You're going to lose that time, yeah.
And that time could accumulate.
No, actually here's syndrome. And we can, I wish I could write, but basically, so the idea is, in that case, none of the two things will happen, which we said that the queue will become infinity and some people will get dropped, so that will not happen because you have a cycle which is bounded, and basically it goes to regeneration point. And second thing we said was that the queue, and some people will never get service.
For each cycle, the response time will be high.
No, so that is the case. Increase and increase. Yeah, exactly equal. Huh? Sorry? Yeah. Actually, here's the point. Let me just say, this is a good point. The point is this. I think both Ian and, you know, he's right. He just gave the answer, which is really good. Is that the queue size in that case with Poisson, the queue size would be infinity. The stable queue size. The average queue size is infinity. Yeah. The average queue size will be infinity, and that you don't want that. So that is basically unstable in that sense, yeah.
So can you give a precise definition of what you mean by stable?
Now we know the precise definition.
Right.
The queue doesn't go to infinity.
Or the final buffer case, if it overflows, is it stable or not?